CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Da 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 da. There we go. I love that. I played that. I hate Taylor Swift, right? But I played that song, and Sia just loved it. I played it because I feel like it represents so much of what's going on in America at the moment. Like, we are never going to get back together. I mean, I hate Taylor Swift so much.
I remember exactly when that song came out, what it took me back to. Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, it's the kind of song that she's just so annoying. I feel like Mbulelo when he talks about those suburban housewives, and we know he hates them, right? I feel like that about Anne Hathaway, Taylor Swift. I don't know what it is about those two in particular that they're just so goddamned annoying.
Took me back to October, November 2012.
You know,
that's
what it
exactly
might...
around the time the song came out.
Let's break it down. I think the reason that I hate Anne Hathaway and Taylor Swift so much is because the kind of teenage girls who didn't like me at high school loved that kind of thing. I mean, obviously I was, you know, before the time of Anne Hathaway and Taylor Swift being on the scene, but I know for a fact, I don't know it for a fact, but I know it's true that the girls who like Taylor Swift today and the girls who like Anne Hathaway today are exactly the kind of girls who would have fobbed me off at high school. So therefore, I have nothing but contempt for their favorite artists and actors. Is that what it is? Do you think that's a good... Now we're digging deep. Like, psychologically, that's got to mean something, right?
Maybe.
I'm telling you. Those are the
trauma,
girls,
that childhood
those
trauma.
Those are the girls who turned me down whenever we would... I'd say, you know, can I get you anything at the tuck shop? Or...
Listen, that's something people never deal with. Is
rejection.
That trauma of boys. Yeah. Because there's only... There's only so many, I'm afraid. There's only so many great-looking people in the world. And there's nothing worse than when you're 12, 13.
Being turned down by a girl. Jesus, that broke my heart. I can tell you, I can list the names of all the girls who did that to me. It was...
Wow!
I thought I was the...
Wow!
I'm taking the fantasy too far, but there we go. You know, I've got these neighbors across the road. So they're not even that close to me. And they've got these two little girls who start screaming at 5:30 a.m. they're very little girls, and they start screaming at 5:30 a.m. And at the risk of making this show's first 10 minutes sound very, like, chauvinistic and misogynistic.
About whiny girls.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like that. It's the same kind of WhatsApp group as the girls who would say no to me at high school.
How old are these girls?
I don't know. But they screech and they scream the whole time. It's fucking awful.
Eesh.
Yeah, and that's tough. And the parents just don't seem to even hear it anymore. They're oblivious. Ugh. They just don't.
I've always said the most selfish people in the world are people that get married and people that have kids, because their world, you adjust. Like, they don't care.
I don't know. You know, I've always said the opposite. I've always said that the least selfish thing in the world is to be a parent, because your whole life is spent, well, at least 20 years of your life with each child is spent totally, you know, devoting yourself to them, because you have
to. Well, it doesn't mean, why is my life horrible now? Because you chose to be a parent. I don't get, like, have you ever seen somebody at a restaurant?
But then that is you being selfish. I mean, at least be self-aware enough to notice that.
Well, but hold on. I'm at the restaurant, and now you're bringing your three-year-old, and I'm the problem for going, go to another restaurant. What are we doing here? Like, stay at home. If you've got kids, stay at home.
I'm very careful not to be one of those people who just, because I've mostly been throughout my life totally unsympathetic to parents, but I've managed in the last 10 years to keep a little bit of a level head about it, because I've seen what parents go through, and even though I don't experience it myself, so I can't say I have the understanding, the depth of understanding that parents have. It's a hard job, man. I'm very glad I didn't decide to have kids, and that might change. Who knows? I might be one of those old dads one day. But for now, it's not something that's on my agenda. And I do have a lot of respect for parents who do it properly. There are a lot of parents who don't do it properly. The ones who do it properly, you have my undying respect, and I don't mean that in some sarcastic or soft way. But if you're a shit, if you're a shit parent, am I going to come down hard on you?
Likewise, I have to agree.
I always want to believe the good in people first, and I think some parents are just, they're not fit for it. Hey, they realize a little too late, and now, well, we're stuck with this, so we have to commit, and they just don't know what to do. Like, I picture your neighbors as the ones who are just moping around the house going, okay, well, the kids are in charge now.
Right.
These kids are just running circles. I saw on Saturday when I went grocery shopping, the funniest scene as well. I couldn't help but to pack up and laugh, but like other people were so concerned. I thought it was a hilarious sight. You could tell that this couple were just so exhausted, like they just had enough. And the father gets out of the car from the driver's seat, and he has this toddler who had climbed out of her baby seat at the back, climbed over and onto his seat, and was going to come out his end. He didn't notice that and just slammed the door. Meanwhile, was slamming it on the daughter's face.
Oh my God.
I thought it looked, it was like a horrible accident. The girl thought it was like just bawling in tears. I thought, what an idiot of a child. So now a crowd formed around them. And you can tell these parents just, they appreciated the help. They didn't know how to console this child. I thought, see, those little mini crackheads, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. But here's another revelation. And I tell me if I'm being too kind to parents. But I think some people are better being parents for younger kids. And then some people are better being parents for older kids. Does that make sense?
I think you've left something out there. Some people are better not being parents. That's
but
very important to add. Don't leave room
for parents. Yeah. I think there's some people who just have more patience with, you know, nurturing and fixing your tie and are you okay and cut your food in little portions. And then some people, I think, are better fit for, let's have an adult conversation. Let's reason. What do you need? No, this is your boundary.
Some people, I totally agree with your first statement there, is that some people are better off not being parents because they don't have and you know what? It's amazing. Like, you talk to them about it and they'll be like, no, I would be I'd be a brilliant parent.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't take no for an answer, huh? You say to them, listen, it's a great thing. Be proud of yourself. You made good life choices. You didn't burden some poor child, some innocent soul, with your shitty parenting. They're like, what do you mean? I go, well, because you would have been a terrible parent. Jesus, they don't take that well, hey? Even people who you'd think don't really care. Woo-hoo. Mm. It's like you've plunged a dagger into their heart.
Like, I came to this revelation because my mother was going through a very kumbaya moment and reading every self-help book. So I thought, oh, we can have this conversation then. But she was the one who ended up admitting that she doesn't think she was a good parent
really?
For young kids.
After how many of you? Four.
Four.
So it took her four kids to figure out that she was. That is some realization. Let me tell you.
But it's quite a mature thing to also admit. You
after
know, no
four,
one's
no. I think the damage is done. It would be great if she said after one, you know what? I'm going to stop here and tie the tubes. Except, see, we wouldn't have had you.
Because she's not.
You're the last one.
But
so.
If I actually recount, I don't remember my childhood with my mother. You know, and I. Coloring in pictures or, you know, her making me meals. She was just like, no, I'll hire someone for that or you'll sort that out on your own. But as a teenager, I remember her there and, you know, we can talk and now we can decide on things. But young people, you know, even now I see her with my grandkids, with her grandkids,
your
my
grandkids.
Nieces and nephews. She's, I know. I see her with them and it's just like, okay, yeah, go and amuse yourself. I'll see you guys later. No, don't judge her.
You know who deserves a special Nobel Prize that they haven't invented yet?
Who?
Is self-aware parents. So earlier I said there are these selfish people, but I love self-aware parents. When they get to a restaurant, baby starts crying. What does mom or dad do? get outside. You are possibly my favorite people in the world, and you deserve a different kind of award, because it's about self-awareness. Nobody's like, kids are hard. That must be a nightmare.
I think we've discussed this before, so I don't want to maybe go down the same old road again, but people are generally unaware of their selves. They don't really. I mean, if you watch people in public places, you know, I always say the shopping center because it's something everybody can relate to, right? Doesn't matter how rich, poor, what cultural background you have, what language you speak. Everybody has to go to the shop, and we all have to get food at the shop because that's where we do that now. And it's a universal human thing. And when you see how people push their trolley into the back of your legs, and they're looking around, they're totally blissfully unaware of everything that's happening around them. They nat at each other at full volume. They have screaming children in the cart with them. They park badly outside and take up two parkings instead of one. And you know, you just think generally, like, these are not the kind of people who you could share a society with in perpetuity. If you had to encounter them every day, one of you would have to kill the other one. That's just unfortunately, and throughout history, that's what happens, right? Is that the strong people who are aware of themselves will end up killing those who are not, because those who are not end up being a burden to the tribe. I mean, we're talking now about ancient human history. So when we were all hunter-gatherers on the savannah, which isn't even that long ago in historical terms, any person who pulled the tribe backwards instead of forwards had to be sacrificed to the gods, because they were a major problem in the long run, and they would end up costing a lot.
A liability.
Yes, correct. So you needed to get rid of them. And unfortunately, now we live in a society where, you know, we're very, very into looking after the person at the back of the queue. We're very aware of how we have a responsibility to leave no person behind, right? And that actually goes completely against nature, and it bothers a lot of people to even talk about this stuff, because they think you're being very mean. The reality is, the devil take the hindmost is probably that's probably humanity's real saying, is devil take the hindmost. Is like, if there's a lull, what would you call them? It's a great word.
Bottleneck, or what are we trying to say?
No, it's like those people who just hang at the back, who kind of never really put much in but expect to be supported by the tribe. They almost
leech.
A bit of a leech. Like a sort of a leech. That's a halfway good word. Those people in the past, they knew what would happen to them. They'd be rewarded for that behavior by being struck out of the tribe and, you know, left in the desert. And then and fending for yourself in those days was impossible. So, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Now, those people impose their laziness on all the rest of us. And now we all have to make an effort to keep them in the tribe, even though it costs the tribe advancement points, because we can't move forward until the person at the back who's being lazy and selfish and unaware and dumb and making poor decisions, that person's costing all of the tribe the 15 kilometers they might have covered in that day that we now can't cover, that other tribes are covering, and our tribe's being held back because of that fucker at the back. And we can't say that anymore, because now that's very socially unkind. Does that make sense to you? I know it sounds super super mercenary, but it's really true.
No, I get it.
Like, the only way we advance is by, unfortunately, shedding dead wood, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know on the societal level, but at least on the macro scale, quite literally, I was at Macro on the weekend, and there's a special type of monster here.
Yeah.
They come as a family. So there's two of them. They're standing next to each other. One's pushing the trolley. They're taking up the whole aisle. Right. And then the one's looking at something on this side of the aisle. The one's got the trolley this side of the aisle. By the way, I need to get past as well. I don't need to hear what you're saying and which beetroot is cheaper on which side, and you're blocking the whole aisle. What are we doing here?
Well, you see, it's also they have to, because they've got so little to do in their lives, the shopping experience becomes the most important thing they do that weekend. I mean, we're being very mercenary here. We really are. I want to say up front, because this is otherwise going to be quoted horribly out of context, because you know how various news organizations listen to this show for material because they can't come up with their own. So I want to say this very clearly. The kind of stuff that Mbulelo and I are, that we are proffering here as examples of the kind of humans that irritate us, we are not eugenicists, okay? We are not people who say we want others wiped out. That's not at all what we're saying. What we're saying is that these are
You want them voted out of the tribe.
Well, no, I don't even necessarily want that. I think we've got to just acknowledge that they are a dead weight on the rest of us. And I'm not saying I have a solution for that, because it's not my place to make the call. I just know that if we are advancing forward as humanity and we look back, and right at the back are like a bunch of artists who essentially are just parasites on the tribe's productivity. There's a bunch of artists, and we'll talk about artists in a second. But these people just, they consume, they use, they don't add value. They may culturally add value occasionally, but most of them are not particularly. I mean, like 90% of artists really we could do without. It's the 10% who do the amazing things that I'm in love with, that I would work double to support. But it could be that. It could just be a fat person who eats too much. It could be a person who has 10 kids instead of 3 or 4. Those people really that irritate me only irritate me because the whole of humanity is kind of held back by these organisms who lie and watch television and eat chips every day while the rest of us are working. And I don't.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Please do.
Who gets to decide who is dead weight?
I don't know. That's the hard part, because if you have a maniac deciding that, then you have terrible things happening to society. Indisputably terrible things, right? Like, I'm not even going to argue for that person. But if you have someone who is thoughtful and careful and kind about it, what you can do is find ways of accommodating those people and finding ways to help. Make them helpful to the process of civilization and of moving forward. It's very hard to do.
I've got a pretty simple answer for that. You know, the great Richard Dawkins has a great saying is, we should always be open-minded, but not so open-minded that our brains fall out. And it's a good example in this case of everybody's notion is subjectivity is the bottom line to progress, which is so wrong.
Yeah,
it is so wrong. There are objectives, objective truth in the world.
But that's where you hear people saying "my truth," right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
my truth. I mean, know how they.
Then I'm out. Yeah. I can't help you from there.
Exactly. Then you hear that clicking from those "my truth" people. Anyway, we've got to talk about artists, because apparently, in December of 2018, some artist set a bunch of solar-powered speakers in the middle of the Namib Desert to play Toto's Africa for the rest of eternity, and they're still busy playing that fucking song.
Wow.
And that kind of artist, I don't think, is really helping society or civilization. Forgive me. I don't see their value.
You know, yes, they say art is subjective, but what is this? This is nonsense. I really don't understand it. And what shocks me is the fact that there are so many people who were on this idea who thought, yes,
what a great
fantastic
idea.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. The sky is half Namibian.
Hang on, you say that again. He's half Namibian, half?
Half German.
Okay.
So first name Max, second name Steintopf. Okay. There's a T, then a P, then an F, so I'm lost. Okay. Anyway, so which makes me think, let me assume he lives in Germany, and then he wants to go back to the motherland, of course, Namibia, to pay tribute.
Wait, see ya, hold on. I have to correct you there. Namibia's former colony of Germany. There's lots of Germans in Namibia, just so you know.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So then he had to get some of the authorities involved. Then he possibly had to get some funding on this. Then he possibly had to get some cultural or cultural.
Imagine the Ovambo and Herero people who live in the Namib. Imagine them
who had to advise on this, or who had to give, you know, a thumbs up to this. All of these people thought, good idea.
They're like, what does this dude want, Max? What is Max? What, he wants to put speakers in the middle of the desert and play, gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. Do me a favor. Yeah. This is such self-indulgent nonsense.
This is what he says about it. He says, I wanted to pay the song the ultimate homage and physically exhibit Africa in Africa. Ooh. He said, some Namibians love it, and some say it's probably the worst sound installation ever. I think that's a great compliment.
When the aliens come and they see that, they're going to turn around and they're going to go away and they will never come back. They'll say, we are never, ever, ever getting back together. The aliens will go the fuck out of here. And I mean, at this point, frankly, an Anne Hathaway movie is better art than what this guy's got in mind. Anyway, we've got to get to headlines. Yeah,
so it's called Toto Forever. It's still up and running now. And it will go on and on and on because the speakers are solar powered. And there's an MP3 player as well that's solar powered. So it will just keep on being on a loop. My simple question is, what happens in a sandstorm when there's tons of sand? It gets blown over or covered up, as the desert obviously does. It's watered down the drain. Makes no sense to me.
Don't worry. Nature will find a way of destroying those speakers.
And then carry on supporting the arts. Yeah.
All right. So here's a quick email from Matthew. Matthew says he wants to come up with some more ideas for that drinking game that was suggested yesterday for the GCS. Something I've often thought of doing. Suggestions are spot on, and I've picked up on a few more. So here are his suggestions. We all have to drink every time Bulelo uses the word piety. Do you use that word often?
Oh, clearly. Okay. I haven't used it in a while. But
Bulelo uses the phrase, when I lived in X country. Okay. Every time Gareth mentions his sister's boyfriend is a pilot, it's actually his birthday today, James. Do I always say that? Because I think it's usually when it's relevant to whatever. I don't know. Maybe I overdo it. It's not a big deal to me. My uncle was a pilot, and so was my grandfather. My dad he got a pilot's license before he could drive. So it's not a big deal. I feel just, you know, I'm an underachiever in that respect. Gareth sneezes or blows his nose. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Oh, geez. Well, that's
everyone. So drunk so quickly. And whenever Sia uses the phrase, call a thing a thing.
Oh, all right.
Please keep sending us your ideas for what would make a brilliant Gareth Cliff Show drinking game. Jesus, at this stage, I promise you no one will make it past the first hour.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some headlines quickly because there's quite a lot to go through for today. Motorists have called for online license renewals to be scrapped. Can I ask this question? It might sound really obvious, but your driver's license, I think it lasts 5 years. The card, the driver's license. Now, surely once you have a driver's license, you have it. You shouldn't have to renew it. This is a money-making scheme. Unless you turn, let's say you turn 80 or 85 years old, and then they need to test your eyes again or whatever. But really, if you get a driver's license at 18, you're not going to substantially become a worse driver. If anything, you'll become a better driver with time. So I don't see, other than the government trying to make money out of us, why we need to renew that driver's license. Can anybody at all give me a good reason why we need to pay attention to this stupid rule? There are very few countries in the world that have this renewal process. Most of them, once you've got a driver's license, you've got a driver's license, full stop. And I get that very old people we might have to test because they can't see as well anymore, but why the hell do we need to renew this every 5 years? It's money.
I think it's also to catch them traffic fine people, because, you know, they don't allow you to renew up until you've paid up all of your fines.
Yeah, but then, you know, they should do better policing. That's not our problem.
Right. I know.
I think it's outrageous. So anyway, people are starting to complain, and they're saying that this is not acceptable. In Johannesburg, Gauteng motorists are calling for the online registration for driver's license renewals to be scrapped. They say the system is failing them. The province currently has a backlog of 30,000 renewals due to the lockdown. Well, I don't have a driver's license that's valid at the moment for the same reason. And I did try. I tried to go on. I've tried repeatedly. I've just finished filling in the documentation for my gun license, which, as you know, is a major process. I mean, you have to submit something like 30 different pieces of documentation. And I've done all of it. And I'm still not making any progress. But even there, I'm making more progress than I am with my driver's license. So if you're going to make it this difficult for people to comply with the law, guess what's going to happen? People are just not going to comply with the law. You know? Yeah,
but we have a staple in South Africa. As we know, at the end of your complaint here is, it's the system. Sorry, sir, the system is down. Come back tomorrow. System.
Yeah, system. Yes. All right, let's talk about a big story, because this is brewing, and it's probably something which deserves our attention, not only because Janet, who listens to us, told me about this, and she was very worried. She's a parent at a school in the Western Cape, and there's been quite a lot of noise and nonsense. You may have seen this on social media at Brackenfell High. So Western Cape Education MEC, Debbie Schaffer, on Monday said her department would not take action against two teachers who attended a private matric party in Brackenfell in Cape Town, which was allegedly attended exclusively by white pupils 2 weeks ago. This after tensions flared up outside the Brackenfell High School in the morning, when some of the residents, parents, and members of the Economic Freedom Fighters clashed during a protest called by the party against alleged racism. Now, there are a couple of things going on here. First of all, if there was a private party, you know, if I want to, let me just put it this way. During apartheid and even into the 90s, if I had black friends and I invited them to a private party and white people who were from the apartheid era didn't agree, fuck them, because it's my private party. So if I want to have a party these days, and I want to invite only people in wheelchairs, and I want to be the only people who has, who doesn't have a wheelchair, that's my prerogative. I can do that. If I want to have just midgets, I can have just midgets. If I want to have just attractive people, I can have just attractive people. You can't get involved in private parties.
So
you can't choose people's friends for them. This is clearly something which has been turned into an issue, especially by the EFF. I don't know if the EFF have any, if there's any EFF member who has children at the school. But if they don't, they're really just putting their nose where it doesn't belong. What do you know?
So from my understanding with different pieces of the story, this private party, yes, happened, but it was lost in the way it made it seem as if the school had made that the official matric party. And so that's when the issue started, people going, official school thing, and clearly all of the white pupils were invited and no one else. That's what I'm piecing together. Mm. Yeah, because the first statement that I saw from the school was a long statement about how it was not an official schooling, they are distancing from it, and then this ensued.
So apparently, here's someone who listens to the show, Candace. She says, we have a friend's kid who went to the party. It was 500 rand a ticket, and it was limited to 100 kids, so it wasn't exclusive. Basically, they were following COVID rules. Look, either way, you do not have a right to get into other people's private parties, even if they do decide they only want white people. So what? There's nothing you can do about that, I'm afraid. Really? I mean, if they've said on the invitation, no black people, then obviously we all have a problem with it. But this is the old idea of if a bakery that's run by Christians doesn't want to make a gay wedding cake, go to another bakery. You don't have a right to force that business to comply with your rules. You don't. In no free society is that acceptable. And I know that it rubs a lot of us up the wrong way, that it sounds like it's discrimination. But if you have a cake business and you make wedding cakes and you are Christian and you're devout and you don't believe in gay marriage, and a gay couple comes to you, you can say to them politely, listen, you guys are entirely entitled to take your business elsewhere, which you should do anyway, frankly, if someone's discriminating against you. But You can't force them to love you, you know? It's the weirdest thing. Like, I can't force the EFF to accept my opinion about things, which is why I don't join the EFF.
Sorry, what's that song? I can't make you love me.
So, Sia, I mean, if you decided to get married, Sia, and you and your man went to a cake shop, and they said to you, I'm sorry, we are a Christian cake shop, and we do not believe in gay marriage. We can't make your cake. But they were very nice about it. You can't really force them. You can't go to the government and make the government pull out a gun and hold it to their heads. Doesn't sound right to me. It seems that the best solution is for you to take your hard-earned money and to spend it somewhere else with people who love you and with people who do care about you and people who do support your marriage. That seems the sensible thing to do. So if you're a kid at Brockenfell High, which I understand is a mixed-race school, you know, we don't have exclusively white or black schools in this country unless it's by pure accident of geography or by pure accident of where your parents decided to send you. We certainly don't have any rules that make a school exclusive to a certain race. And if we did, that school would be closed down. So when you go to Brockenville High and maybe they decide they're going to have a party and they sell tickets at 500 Rand each and they limit to 100 kids and you didn't get in, wah. Wah, I'm sorry. Like, wah, start your own party. Get your own party going. Invite your friends. Invite the cool kids. And maybe your party will be better than this one. But you do not have a right to call the EFF, who are in no way related to what's going on here, and say to them, they're having a party and I'm not invited. Wah. And so the parents have got furious and they actually defended the school. Yesterday, there was a big uproar and a whole bunch of EFF people got beaten up, which is kind of funny, I've got to admit, because the EFF are big talk. And then when, you know, when it comes to bite instead of bark, they back down like a bunch of pussies. And they were running, screaming for their lives from the parents of Brockenfell High. Also, please, let's be very careful. Don't threaten people's children. This tends to have a really, really bad reaction on behalf of the parents for good reason. Mm. I have no right to interfere in your parenting. And if your child is organizing a party or one of your children is invited to a party, it's got nothing to do with me as another person in this country. It's got nothing to do with Julius Malema, frankly, or with Mbuyiseni Ndlozi or with Floyd Shivambu. Go and have your own party, guys. Your party's called the EFF. Have a party.
Excuse the pun.
Really? I mean, you can choose the EFF. The irony of this is that the EFF is actually called a party and they can choose who their members are. They don't have to accept everybody. If you don't agree with the EFF, guess what? They also say to you, sorry, you're not welcome here anymore. So it's huge, huge, huge spade loads of hypocrisy. And I'm on the side of the parents here because no matter what has happened, everything these days is being interpreted as racism. And this doesn't seem on the face of it to be racism. It seems to be a private party that the EFF felt they should be invited to. Tough.
So my takeaway from this, and I think I've mentioned it in some way, shape, or form before, how are we still resorting to violence after so much that we have done to evolve as humans? To me, it just seems...
Go and Bolelo,
let me give you some pushback there. Let me give you some pushback there. It's I think a couple of weeks I was on and I said, this is why I feel, especially the more privileged kids are, you should go to boarding school. Because there's too many people now who've never been clapped. Yeah. And I was in boarding school, right, I was a big mouth. And those farmers' boys clapped me.
Right.
People need to be clapped sometimes. And this goes across the board, especially the higher you go on the economic scale for me, is you need to be clapped. Your kids need to be clapped by some, because you never hear pushback.
Are you saying that the EFF need to be clapped, or are you saying that kids because Brockenfell High School is not, we're not talking about spoiled rich kids at a private school here. Brockenfell High School is a very, as I understand it, very ordinary school. Brockenfell's hardly the neighborhood everyone in Cape Town aspires to be in.
Absolutely.
But these are ordinary people who are just standing up for their kids and standing up for their school because the EFF have threatened to protest and cause shit and make the school ungovernable and stop the kids from going to school, blah, blah, blah.
So I'm not talking about EFF. I'm pushing back on Sia's notion that I don't know how we still see violence. Is that for me, is violence has a purpose? Because if you want to say something, there's too many people now, especially young kids who are coddled and mommy always tells you you're right.
Yes.
That have never been clapped. And I have to deal with certain people, right, in my life right now, where yeah. I can hear you've never heard no. And I can hear that everything that's ever come out of your mouth sounds like a good idea to you, because nobody's ever told you have some respect.
Mm.
And sometimes the only language we need to speak, you know, one of the true greatest traits of evolution, as we know it, is pain. Pain is one of the most awesome things that has ever happened in evolution to let us know this direction. And sometimes when you don't listen, we got to speak a different language. And violence. Yeah. Well, violence in certain circumstances serves a tremendous
you
purpose.
You see, and also the minute you see the smoke of racism, the EFF run to it like moths to a flame. And I don't think that that's particularly helpful. I mean, to Mbulelo's point, Werner Herzog always used to say, I believe the common character of the universe is not harmony, but chaos, hostility, and murder. Human beings, listen, it's not a great thing. It's about right, though. Human beings are not default set to being nice to each other. But here's the story from Janet. Janet says this was blown out of proportion. She's obviously involved there, so she knows. So this might help clarify. Janet says it was blown out of proportion because a disgruntled parent and a journalist who published a story without the facts, obviously got the attention, the Matrix had only started writing the day before. This is the most important exam of their lives. To be fair, of the parents were in the wrong yesterday by lashing out. But if you mess with someone's child, you're going to get it.
Mm. Yeah.
I think if any group of people in South Africa need a puss club, it's probably the EFF. I don't think that's unfair.
Politicians in general, all of them.
All of them.
Need a club. Not just EFF. We must clap all of them. ANC, DA, I don't care. They all need a proper clap.
But
as
who?
Well.
But who really? Who are agitating the most of the time? I mean, you know, you don't see people from the ANC or the DA going around trying to shut down schools.
And I guess then we'll just agree to disagree, because I've never. Violence doesn't get me going, doesn't spur me on. I'd never watch a fight and I go, yeah, look at what's happening there.
I'm the same as you.
Those visuals yesterday, people pick at tar to get large chunks to throw at someone else. I found it so sad.
It's animal.
Yeah, but listen, this is what happens, right? It is the great saying, and to cut to the core of it, violence is always the language of the disenfranchised. If I feel like I don't have a piece in the game and you're not listening to my language, we get violent. We have seen that pattern through history. The guillotine in France did not come out because people felt they were good. They felt disenfranchised. Yeah. And no, in this case,
I think these parents feel abandoned because none of the politicians are coming to their aid. They don't have a say, so they have to defend themselves. Now, if I had children and they were at that school and the EFF said they were going to come and interfere in my children's exams, I'd be one of those parents.
Listen, I threw out my 20s. My mother's defended me my whole life. I know what happens when you go near people's kids. Mm. I don't know what you expect.
So there's apparently the EFF are coming back and there's going to be more. So instead of them just backing off and going, okay, you know what, this is not something we need to be involved in. No, they're upping the ante. They're doubling down. So let's see what happens. I wouldn't fuck with the parents of Brackenfell. If you've ever been to that neighborhood, I'd be very careful. That's all I'm saying. Chuck Norris would have stayed away from Brackenfell. Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi, he used to be Minister of Health. He has denied claims that they're forcing anyone to sign deportation papers. Apparently, 30 people are being held at the Lindela Repatriation Center in the West Rand. Apparently, that is a horrible place to be. Home Affairs has begun deporting those who are in the country illegally. Those who don't qualify for refugee status are set to be deported. They're part of a group of refugees and asylum seekers who are protesting outside the offices of the United Nations in Cape Town. The group wanted to be moved to other countries, but not their countries of origin. Okay, look, I don't think that South Africa has the best Home Affairs Department. And frankly, I would hate to be at their mercy. And although I've never been at their mercy like these refugees, in inverted commas, are, I know how hard it is just to get them to issue a passport or an ID or any of those things. So my sympathies are with these people. But, and this is a big but, if you go to another country illegally and you are not a refugee, in other words, by all the means through which they determine whether someone's a refugee or not, and there are specific conditions that need to be met, then you don't have a say. You can't say to that government, and whoever he or she is that's saying this is saying to you and me and everyone else in the country, you must pay for me to go to the country of my choice. Hello?
Man,
that's not on. We do not have a responsibility as the people of South Africa to take you to a country of your choice, not the country you come from, just because you ended up here illegally. That's not our responsibility. I'm sorry. And there's no amount of argument that's going to help your case in this respect.
You know what what's really sad about something like this? This is not a result of these people. These people are all, and I'm very careful with this word, truly at the sharp end of being victims. Because just now I was saying all politicians need to be clubbed. If our African politicians had not been allowed to do these things and had been clapped,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be in this position. This thing of letting people get away and being high-minded, especially the higher up you go in positions of power, I'm sorry, the time is over. Now, faganimpama. Word for the day, faganimpama. Especially these politicians, I've had enough. I'm hurtful, Gareth.
Yeah, you also want to clap politicians. I can hear it.
Yarr.
A government have set a target of 1.2 trillion rand in investment for the next 5 years, with pledges amounting to 664 billion so far. On Monday, Trade and Industry Minister Ibrahim Patel and the Presidential Economic Advisor Trudy Makaya set the tone for the third investment conference set for the week. I don't know who would go to this. I don't know who would go to this. This is like going to an investment conference for, let me think of a good example.
Haberdashery.
Or Yahoo Mail.
Yeah.
You know, or Merck chats, M-I-R-C yeah. chats. This is what, like, why would anyone want to invest with this government? They have a track record. I mean, do they know how investment works? Does Ibrahim Patel even understand basic economics? And I say that advisedly because he's been in government talking about economics for a long time. But I think at its root, he doesn't really know. Has he ever run a business? Has he ever made any money? Because I think he thinks money is, you know, like politics. The what did Thabo Mbeki always call it? The art of the possible. I think he thinks that money is totally made up and he can just move it around willy-nilly and it doesn't settle where the value is. I think he's forgotten that market economics, the free market, is the most complicated machine we've ever invented, but it's also an extremely accurate one. Basic supply and demand. And Ibrahim Patel seems to think that if he and Trudy Makaya in the presidency just say, well, our goal is 1.2 trillion, that 1.2 trillion of someone else's money is magically going to manifest here in South Africa. And he will be the guy who decides how to invest that. Well, if you're stupid enough to give him your money, good for you. Good for you. That's all I'll say. I would do exactly the opposite. If I had the option of sending my tax money to an investment to let it grow, I would choose that. Giving your tax money or giving investment money to government is throwing good money after bad, and it's throwing it down a deep hole. Prove me wrong, I dare you, based on what evidence we have in the world at the moment. And in the US election, it is dragging on. But let's just remember, the only example of this that we have in history is the Al Gore-George W. Bush fight, which in 2000 resulted in, remember all the media said that Al Gore had won? I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but 2000. I do remember this because I was interested in U.S. politics back then as well. And Al Gore came out and said, I've won the election. I'm the winner. And the media, all the main media outlets said, Al Gore's definitely the winner, just like they've done with Joe Biden in the last week. And then remember, that was only one state, Florida. Trump is challenging. And his legal team are challenging the election in, I think it's four or even five states. because they believe that there's been widespread voter fraud, okay? And there are stories that are coming out now that are very suspicious, as I said the other day. So this is not over. And just because, you know, CNN, you know, just because Don Lemon cried on TV doesn't mean that Joe Biden is president. And just because these media outlets have declared a winner doesn't mean that that is the winner. That's not how it works. The media don't actually have a constitutional role in this. I'm sad to tell them.
Right.
So this is not finished yet. And I know that there are a lot of people who really want Donald Trump to just go away. But there is also a set of laws that need to be complied with in order for this election to be legal. And if you're a Biden supporter, let me be very clear about this. If you are a Joe Biden supporter, you should want all of the legal channels to be exhausted so that your man has a legitimate claim to being president. Because if there are any question marks, then you know it's going to hang like a shadow over his presidency going forward. And please, the Democrats can spare me all this talk about how it's won, it's over, and Donald Trump is being a bad sport and he must just concede. Because the Democrats are the people who for 4 years have been telling us that Trump won only because of Russian interference. They have not stopped saying that, despite zero evidence to the contrary. So the Democrats can spare me their posturing, please. I don't believe a fucking word that that party has to say. They are completely without any legitimacy in saying so. They have been telling us nonstop. First it was the Russians, then it was the Ukraine. Come on. Now you want me to suddenly accept that you guys are the arbiters of what is free and fair, when you've done nothing but say that Hillary Clinton has always been the real president? That's what they've been saying. They said that in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, who lost by 50,000 votes, is still actually the governor of Georgia, which she isn't. I'm not going to take any advice from a party who says those things. I'm so sorry. So let Trump exhaust these various legal channels. It will prove either that Joe Biden is the legitimate president, or it will prove that he is not. And everyone should be interested in the processes being followed. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter what party you belong to or what party you support.
But another very important note on this topic. Let the election not cloud the fact that First Lady Melania has decorate the White House, which she hates, but will have to smile next to an ugly-looking Christmas tree.
That's right.
And pretend to be interested.
Yeah, she's gonna have
lest
to,
we forget.
Yeah, she's going to have to decorate the White House again. Oh, God. Gosh, no, hate
she hates that. That I know. You see, all of the divorce conjecture, you see, I think that all rumors. That thing was just a smile and go, here you are, America. Yeah. I think she just, she doesn't care. There's like staff of 27 who decorate that. She's so, not interested.
Just quickly, because we're already at 7 o'clock, a few funny comments.
Right.
Monwa saying at least 4 years for 45, another 4 years. Raleigh saying Zimbabwe are considering sanctions against the USA unless there's a free and fair election.
Oh, come on.
Graham says, I'm sick of paying for losers who make up racism to justify their individual ineptitude. Sure, that's one word that he's put in there, so that was a long word, but I think he meant to make it two. The conversation needs Pumi. She's a parent. I'd love to hear her opinion. Well, you'll be lucky because Pumi's in on Thursday, and you can ask her. Beth says, Gareth, I saw a funny post. It said, imagine the worst white person you know and the worst colored person you know, and they had a love child, and then you have Brackenfell. Oi, that's not nice. That's very mean. That's very mean. Janet says this place, and she lives in Brackenfell. She said this place is Melville and steroids when it comes to sticking together.
Power to the people. Keep the fight alive.
I like that one.
Maki says, I'm just wondering, how do most of the EFF members get along with their fathers? Are these protests not driven by deep-seated anger against fathers? Well, Maki, your guess is as good as mine. And Sila says, I agree with Mbulelo. Where we go and where can we go to hand out clubs to the DA, ANC, and EFF? Yeah.
All of them.
All right. Thank you very much for that. We've got another hour of this fun and craziness headed your way just after 7, cliffcentral.com. Tell us what you're up to and give us a call if you would like to on 079-748-2090. You can also use the app which we use to stream live in video. You can ask to join the conversation. And you know what? We will always put you on, even if you've got like nothing to say. Although, we'll probably cut you off fairly quickly if you have nothing to say, but it's worth a try. I mean, why not, Sia, right?
Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Join the
party. This is not a democracy. This is not a democracy.
Correct. All right. So give us a clue as to what you're up to. Tell us what you'd like to talk about this morning, and we'd love to hear from you. That's 079-748-2090.
CliffCentral.com.